Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
So last week we got started, talking about, as we go into the Thanksgiving season, that we need to remember to not just be thankful for the good stuff, but we also need to be thankful for the bad. We need to be thankful for those thorns in our side, right? And we're going to dig a little bit more into that this week. As we look, this week we're actually going to go into a specific verse that talks about that, as opposed to how we were last week. So let's open our Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So your Bibles, your apps, whatever it is that you use. So we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The word says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong.'" Now, of course, when we read this, we don't know exactly what this thorn is in Paul's side, right? We don't know the exact calamity that's going on here. However, based upon what we read in the book of Galatians, right, with what he had going on, and it's agreed upon by many scholars that most likely it was some sort of disease, all right? It could have been his eyes failing. It could have been malaria. It could have been a number of things, possibly even epilepsy. That's also another one that's been suggested. We don't know. The thing is, it's not important that we know. We don't need to know exactly what it was. What we do need to know is that it was a chronic issue that impacted him constantly and had an impact on his ministry. It was a hindrance to him, all right? And so because of this, he had to lean into the Lord. And like many of us, he prayed for a remedy repeatedly. We see it right here, not once, not twice, three times. That's happened to a lot of us, hasn't it? We have something going on, something that's not going right. Maybe it's an ailment itself. And we pray, "Lord, take this from me. Lord, heal me." We pray and we pray and we pray. And just like with Paul, he says, "No." Or maybe he says, "Not yet." Which for all intents and purposes, as far as we're concerned, is just another way of saying no. Right? Because it's not happening right now. It's not happening in our timetable. But that's the way we look at it. You know, I've had more than my fair share. I shouldn't say more than my fair share. I've had a lot of injuries in my life. I've spent a lot of time in ERs. I've had a few surgeries, pretty intensive surgeries. Not fun. You know, but with all those injuries and all the times that things would happen, bones would be broken, concussions and all that kind of stuff. For me, my Paul moment was when I got that final injury that ended my military career. That was a huge turning point for me. Because from the time I was knee-high to a turtle, I knew I wanted to be one of two things. I wanted to be in the military and I wanted to be a cop. And guess what? I got blessed with both. But then I got hurt. It was a hard pill to swallow. I can't tell you, I mean, there would be nights, you know, I'd get done with medical, I'd go and I'd do my physical therapy and all that kind of stuff, and I'd get back to the barracks, and I'd pray, "Lord, heal me. Make a way for this not to be true. Find, you know, help me find a way where I can stay. I'm not ready. It's not, my time here is not over." basically begging and pleading. There'd be nights where I'd cry myself to sleep because that's all I had ever wanted in my life. I was there. I was literally living the dream. For better and for worse, I was right exactly where I'd always wanted to be. Minus a stop or two, I could tell you I loved my time in the military. There is a stop or two that, you know, needless to say, they're a little life-changing. But we all have those times in our lives. Maybe not as dramatic, right? Some of us, I know people that have had injuries, got injured at a young age. Those ailments carry through with throughout their life. Pains, physical pains, mental pains, spiritual pains, right? We all have them. Oftentimes we do the same thing. We go to the Lord, we pray, we beg, we plead, just for God to say, no, that's not what's best for you. And we get so hung up on it, we miss our blessings. We miss them because we're focused on the wrong thing. So today, I'm going to give you three reasons why it's good and why you should count it as a blessing to have a thorn in your side. First off, we take things for granted. We take things for granted. We become like the Israelites in Numbers. Right? I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm just going to hit a small piece of it. But if we go to Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. So that's Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. The word says, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now, we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Right? The Lord had already blessed them so greatly. So greatly. But they quickly started looking the other way and were taking it for granted. And you look at it, they'd been protected from the plagues. They'd been freed from Egypt. They were no longer slaves. They were being guided back to the promised land. So much. Matter of fact, they're on this journey to go back. And they're so blessed. They don't even have to worry about what they're going to eat. The Lord's provided. Every day, they wake up to this miracle of manna on the ground before them. They just had to scoop it up, prepare it, and enjoy it. Manna burgers, manna tacos, manna enchiladas, right? Manna popsicles. Okay, they probably didn't have popsicles back then, but you get the point, right? I'll have a grilled manna sandwich, please, you know? Every day. And it was there for them every single day. A miracle. And they took it for granted. Why? Because it became just a part of the daily. It was mundane. Right? Who in here has a food that they want to eat every single day without changing it? Darren. Got one in. What's that? Blake's Lotter Burger. Oh, man. We gotta improve your taste, brother. Okay. What's up? What's that? Lumpia? Oh, lumpia. That's a good one. That is a good one. Yes. Now, let me ask you this. What kind of lumpia? What's that? Yeah, well, are we talking pork? Are we talking chicken? All right. If you had to pick one, pork. All right. So for days and days on end, months and months on end, that's the only thing you get to eat is pork lumpia. But you know what? For the Israelites, that's how it started too, though. That's how it started too. You know? Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. You've known him for a minute, yes. A little bit longer than Darren. But you don't get to change what you eat. Like, so I said, one thing every day without changing it. Ah, aha. So that's why he went with the lumpia. You don't get to choose from the whole menu, brother. Sorry. That's what God said, too. You get one thing, and you're getting the manna. So for those of you who aren't familiar with lumpia, I'm very intimately familiar with lumpia. We've had it here at the church a few times. It is a wonderful dish. If you haven't tried it, I highly encourage it. Matter of fact, you know what? That might be something. I might talk to the family. We might bring some for the potluck. I'll tell you what. Thinking about it now. let's get back on track though. But think about that one thing though. You know, it's like when I was a teenager, I just said pizza, right? You thought I was a Ninja Turtle. What kind of pizza? Well, back in that time, I was very simple. Pepperoni, that's it. That's all I need. You know? If I was feeling froggy, I'd say throw some pineapple on there. But, you know, just a plain pepperoni pizza, though. Eventually, though, that day caught up. I still love pizza. But you know what? There's other foods out there. I know for my wife, it's spaghetti. She loves spaghetti. She goes out to a restaurant. She sits down and she tries her spaghetti. If it's not up to par, I'll tell you what, you hear it. She is a spaghetti connoisseur. But that's the thing, though. As we get blessed, we have certain things in our lives that we have been blessed with. All right? And at a certain point, they become mundane. Right? It's like you have that car that you wanted forever and ever and ever, right? You're like, oh, I'm going to work toward it. I'm going to save up. I'm going to get my down payment. I'm going to get this car. I know, even Twinkie's getting excited. But you finally go out, you walk into the dealership, you slap down your down payment, you sign the paperwork and everything, and you drive it home. After about a year, what happens? You're already looking to trade in and get that next glorious model, right? Happens. The Israelites, it was no different. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, if the stars come out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. How often do we look at them now, though? They're there for us every day. Well, I should say every night. But how often do we actually take time to look up in the heavens and enjoy this nightly artwork that the Lord's provided for us. Now, I think back to when I was a kid. I loved astronomy. You go out and you learn the constellations and everything. It's like, you know, here's the Hunter. You know, here's Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. Oh, when you look at the Hunter, you look at the shoulder, and now that's Betelgeuse, right? All these things. And then sometimes it gets a little bit more exciting because then you'd have the stories, right, that would coincide with this constellation from the old myths and everything, right? Like Draco, right? The dragon, right? They kind of joked around a little bit about it in a movie back in the 90s. What was it? Dennis Quaid, Sean Connery was the voice of the dragon. I can't even think of the name of it now. But it's a pretty good movie, but they talk about it. And it's funny because if you watch Shrek, right, he sits down at night with Donkey after Fiona's gone in the cave and boarded it up, right, to hide. And he's sitting there talking. It's like, oh, yeah, look, there's so-and-so, the annoying, right? And they're, you know, same thing. They're sitting there. And there's a certain point, though, where like everybody else, I stopped looking up at the stars. Sure, once in a while, I'll go out and I'll still, hey, cool. Hey, look, there's the Hunter right there, right? Gets exciting for a moment. But then after a while, it's like, okay, I've had my fill. I'm going to go back in, you know? But it's not like back in the days where it's like you knew it's like, hey, we're going into a new season. So that constellation's not going to be here. It's going to be over there, and I'm not going to be able to see it until this time of day when I'm in the bed already. But I'm going to get to see this one, which I haven't got to see in a month. I take these things for granted. The Israelites took these things for granted. It happens to us all. We'll all take time. We'll look out the window. We'll see the stars. But it doesn't have the beauty that it once did, right? For me, I'm using stars. It's not like that for everybody. For everybody, it's something else. Sunsets, right? Sunrises. All that kind of stuff, right? And it brings me to the next point. We become complacent. Several years ago, there was a Frenchman who captured the world. He was all over the news for walking a tightrope between the World Trade Center, the buildings of the World Trade Center, years and years ago. Pretty high up there. It's about 1,350 feet high. Well over 1,000 feet. He was up there walking this tightrope. But it's just a few months later, nowhere near as high. He was about 30 feet off the ground. He was at home in Florida, and he was practicing his tightrope, right? He's out there walking. Maybe he has a stick, whatever, right? And he fell. Got hurt really bad. And as he laid there waiting for help, and he had other people that were there with him, waiting for the ambulance and all that to show up, he tells them, "I can't believe it. I never fall." See, he'd become complacent. We become complacent in the same way. We take things for granted and we become complacent. Turning to Zephaniah 1, verse 12. Zephaniah 1, verse 12. The word says, "And it shall come to pass that at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, 'The Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil.'" So what's complacency? It's a feeling of satisfaction, or possibly even security, and things just as they are, without any regard or any kind of danger that's around or could come. That's what it is. It's basically a very smug level of comfort. The type of arrogance, if you will. And here's the thing about complacency. Complacency kills. You shouldn't be okay with complacency. The Lord certainly isn't. The Lord hates it. You look at what he's saying here. Right? It's laziness. And it's the type of laziness that not only puts people in danger here on earth, spiritually. Because it's this type of laziness that leads to people becoming lukewarm for the Lord. You ever thought of that? Lukewarm for the Lord. And the word tells us it's better to be hot or cold than to be lukewarm. Being lukewarm is still a choice. It's one of those ways that we look to justify and excuse our sins. Basically, we sweep it under the rug. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's okay. It's not going to hurt anybody. Right? We look the other way. Like that hole in the wall, and put a picture up over it to cover it, like the hole's not there. You laugh, it happens. You know, it's like, you see nothing. It's a Jedi mind trick, right? But that's what it is. You know, and that's literally the thought that we have. It's like, it's all right. It's not going to hurt anyone. And that's the mentality that we have. But guess what? It does hurt. And contrary to the belief of many, when you do this, you cannot excuse and you cannot justify your sin. You cannot hide your sin from the Lord. Our Lord knows it all. He's seen it all. He saw it before it even happened. He knows it's there. So you certainly can't sweep it under the rug and forget about it. And there's no excuse that you can tell the Lord, and there's nowhere you can hide from his sight. Absolutely nowhere. He knows it all, which is why it's all the more important that we search ourselves. That's why we talk about this at communion, right? You need to search yourself. What are your sins? What are you misstepping? You need to ask the Lord, what have I done that I haven't seen or don't recognize as a sin, right? And because of that, you're able to evaluate exactly where you are in your walk with Jesus. Am I hot? Am I cold? Am I lukewarm? Because while you might be able to lie to other people about things, you might be able to lie to yourself, you cannot lie to Jesus Christ. You can try, but it won't fly. You cannot afford to become complacent. You're either in it to win it or you're not, which brings us to my third point today. God has something better for all of us, each and every single one of us, which is going to bring us back to where we started in 2 Corinthians 12, specifically looking at verses 9 through 10. Paul writes, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong.'" Here's the thing, folks. When we're left to our own devices and our own strength, we will mess things up and fail constantly. When you look to people to do things for you in the same strength, they will fail you over and over and over again. Because we're human. We're not perfect. We get caught up. We start feeling strong in our own abilities. We start feeling strong with the resources that we have around us, right? We start getting a little bit of a chip on our shoulder because of the things that we feel we've accomplished. God put that thorn in Paul's side for a good reason. He didn't want him to take things for granted. He didn't want him to become complacent. And he certainly didn't want him to go about ministry and try to do things in his own strength. The way that we go through life is usually in our own strength. When we go to work, it's usually in our own strength, right? No, he gave it to him for good reason. It was a reminder that he needed to keep God at the forefront. That Jesus needed to be at the forefront of everything. Greg Kokel, he has this statement that he says in a lot of his teaching. And these guys will actually know exactly. Darren already knows what I'm going to say. He likes to take a rock and put it in people's shoe. How comfortable is a rock in your shoe? You're walking along, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh. Right? And what do most of us do? We stop right there. We take off that shoe. We shake out that rock or whatever's in there. Like, no, we don't want that in there. That hurts. Uh-uh. And what Greg means when he says this, and like I said, it's something he brings up fairly often if you've ever listened to any of his teachings. When he says he likes to put a rock in people's shoe, it's because what he's doing is he likes to give people something to think about. He wants to give people something to think about. And when the Lord allowed for this thorn to go into Paul's side and torment him daily, that's what it was. Paul didn't have a shoe. They had sandals. They kind of had boots. But they're pretty open. It wasn't enclosed like our footwear is today, right? Even when you look at armored stuff, they still had holes and gaps and stuff in there they had to for mobility. None of them were truly enclosed, unlike what Hollywood would lead you to believe today, right? Or doesn't need you to have shoes for a rock to get stuck in there. He has other ways. So he left his torment with Paul to do the same thing. Such as our many blessings, the strengths that he gives you, the guidance that God gives you. We don't want to get caught up. We don't want to become so conceited that we're thinking we're doing it all on our own. Which is why when Paul wrote this, when he's saying when we're weak, we're actually strong. Because it's not your strength that you really rely on when things get hard. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit, right? Because greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world, right? When Jesus died and he sent the apostles out on for the Great Commission, right? Said, when I go, I will send a gift and he will be with you, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit inside. It's a reminder, things are going to happen. Life is going to be hard. Things are going to get in the way. But we need to look to him. We need to talk to him. And the best way for things to get done is for us to have that relationship. Not be like Jelly Roll in his song, you know, says, I only go to him when I need something. We need to go to him with everything. It should be the first thing that you start the day with and the last thing that you end it with. You should wake up in prayer. You should go to bed in prayer. And all the little stops along the way as you go through your day, you should be stopping to pray and praise the Lord and thank him for what he's done for you. For what he's done for you, what he's doing for you, and knowing that because of his promises, what he is going to do for you. He's hard at work. It's important for us to remember he's hard at work. And in our weakness, this is a perfect time for the Lord to go to work because he's molding you. He's shaping you. He's working on your character. He's changing you from being worldly into being more Christ-like because we are all called to be more Christ-like. He is softening your heart and teaching you to be more loving. In the process of doing that, you start talking to him and he's working through you. You form a relationship. You form a trust. You form a bond. And before you know it, you're going to him with certain things automatically. You're not even having to think about it. Whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, it's just already there. Like, hold on a second. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We only have to do a couple of things. Confess our sins and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a very, very small ask for a very, very big give. And in return, we're adopted back into the family, forgiven like it never happened. Scottish minister Alex White, he was known for uplifting prayers in the pulpit. Bless you. So he was known for uplifting prayers in the pulpit all the time. Always had something motivational, right? Always something that he was grateful for. And there was one Sunday morning, the weather was particularly gloomy, and there is a member there in the congregation was looking at the weather and it's just this gloomy kind of day, right? We all know what that's like. We all know that feeling. He's like, today's a day. There's absolutely no way he's going to have something uplifting to pray today. Yeah, he can't have anything motivational. There's nothing he's going to have that's going to be good. And much to his surprise, when White began praying, this is what he prayed. We thank thee, O God, that it's not always like this. He still had something positive, didn't he? Man, if only we could always be so joy-hearted. That thorn in your side is a firm reminder for all that he's done, is doing, and is going to do in your life. We turn to our last verse, James 1, verse 17. It's a firm reminder, and I know we've all heard this before, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I like to put the whole thing there. You know, it's like we like to say every good and perfect gift is from above. Yes, but you know what? That focuses on just the gift. Yes, every good and perfect gift is from above. And we need to acknowledge the Father, as it says right here, who is good yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Correct? Always. God is good. So when you leave here today, I encourage you, be thankful for the thorn that's in your side, for that rock that's in your shoe, and let it be a firm reminder of just how much you need to look to Jesus in your life and in your walk as you go forward. Let it be that reminder that you need to minister to people as you find them. Not where you want them to be, but where you find them. And take that light that points the way to the Lord and give glory to him. Finally, remember, that thorn won't be there forever. The day will come when you're reunited with the Father and it's taken from you. On that note, let us pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us that things are just, they're never as bad as we think they are. And we thank you for the reminders of just how badly we need you. Please, we ask that you help us to understand why we have the thorns that we do and why we have to carry them in the ways that we do. We ask you to continue to teach us and remind us to be thankful for them and to recognize them not as punishment or as torments, but as the reminders that we need in our lives to keep focused with you on our daily walks, and our daily conversations, and use it as part of that testimony to proclaim you to the world. And all his people said, amen and amen. Remember, as you leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.